Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Up All Night, a horror anthology podcast. My name is Cortland, and with me today is the dude that's always in full clown makeup. It's Brandon. How you doing, Brandon?
Hey, I'm a clown.
I knew it. Well, I mean, we wouldn't have a podcast if neither one of us were clowns, right?
One of us has to be a clown.
We're so funny. That's convincing, right?
Yeah, we're so hilarious.
Do you remember when I'd make a terrible joke sometimes and I'd just be like, I'm funny? I haven't done that in a while.
Hey, if you believe it, then it's true.
I know. You just gotta show confidence and you can have anything in the world, Brandon. I think. That's how it works, right?
I'm pretty sure that's the secret.
Yes. That's why we don't have anything nice. So, Brandon, how are you doing this week?
Oh, I'm good. I'm pretty good.
It's almost Easter. Can you even believe it?
No, it feels like it was just Easter last year.
I don't know. It keeps getting quicker and quicker the longer I am on this earth. I don't get it. Didn't they make a song about that? About years they come.
The longer you're on this earth, the quicker Easter comes. Yeah, no, it's a country song.
The years start coming and they don't stop coming. Back to the
popular song. Yes.
Yeah, it reminds me of Shrek. So I love that. Shrek's a great movie. Brandon, did you do anything cool this week?
Debatable. But sure. Speaking of our boy Ernie Hudson from Food for Thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went and seen the new Ghostbusters movie this week.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say you saw the picture of him because he's like 78 or something or 73.
Yeah.
And he is buff as hell. I did see that picture. He looks amazing. Okay.
Yeah. He looks great. He looks way better than me.
But anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to fangirl over Ernie Hudson. Tell me, how was Ghostbusters?
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, I think it's called.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
is not as good a movie as Ernie Hudson looks.
Okay. No, that's very understandable because Ernie Hudson looks amazing. So
yes, this movie is not as good as Ernie Hudson's pecs, but
it's not as hot as Ernie. Okay.
No, it's ice cold.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you see Afterlife though? Like, do you have to see Afterlife? I assume you do, right?
I think you're supposed to.
Okay, you didn't, obviously.
I watched like 20 minutes of Afterlife a few years ago, and I saw this one was coming out, and I was like, I get the gist.
Yeah, they's ghost busting, sure.
Yeah, they bust ghosts, and busting feels good. Like, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, go directly to jail, Mr. Ghost. I'm sure that's what happens. Well, how was Frozen Empire, Brandon? Because you saw 20 minutes of Afterlife, and you're like, that's good. I'm going to go see this one in theaters.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. I was like, wow, this Afterlife 20 minutes is so good that I'm not going to watch the rest of it.
I have to savor this moment for the rest of my life.
There's no way the rest of this movie can hold a candle to this first 20 minutes. So I'm just going to bow out right now.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. How is the Frozen Empire?
It's okay. It's perfectly fine. The old Ghostbusters enter in it. There's new Ghostbusters. Paul Rudd is infinitely charming, like always.
But does it have the girl Ghostbusters from that reboot?
No, they got obliterated from existence. They are not part of this timeline.
Was that part of the Afterlife that you missed?
No.
Oh, okay.
So they made the first two Ghostbusters, mm-hmm. and then they made that all-girl one, and they were like, this is a new Ghostbusters. This is a new continuity. And then they were like, oh, wait, never mind.
I didn't really mind the one with the girls in it. I thought it was fine.
It was also perfectly all right, just like this one.
Okay, all right. With Slimer in it. You know, Slimer, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of, oh, hey, I remember that thing.
Yeah. That's what you got to do these days. You got to hit them in the nostalgia, you know? It's the biggest drug.
Yeah, Cortland, do you even have, like, real big nostalgia for Ghostbusters? Like, we were born just a few years, like, too late for Ghostbusters to be, like, formative things for us.
I have two memories of Ghostbusters, Brandon. For whatever reason, it coincides with Easter, because for some reason, Ghostbusters played every Easter. I think it was mostly the second one, which is not arguably the worst of the two movies. So I have seen the second one, and I watched it on Easter. I don't think I'm gonna watch it this Easter though, Brandon. And also, my middle brother Donald, he used to have a Ghostbusters hat that he used to wear all the time.
Okay.
And until he didn't. And so
that's two good Ghostbusters memories.
Yeah, I think I might have had some of the Ghostbusters toys too, but I didn't really play with toys as a kid.
Wow, that's sad. Moving on.
I had video games, Brandon. Okay, I didn't need to use my imagination.
Okay.
So anyway,
do you anything cool this week, Cortland?
Well, I was sick for a majority of the week, so that was awful. I'm still not feeling 100%, but I'm enough to do a podcast, you know.
Good, because you're doing it anyway. I'm not gonna let you out of this.
Oh, thank you. My son has been very interested in playing Resident Evil. Speaking of video games, and my son not playing with toys either, he really wanted to play Resident Evil 2. So I was like, you're 9, you're old enough.
The remake?
Yeah.
Oh.
So we played that together. It was fun. He did good. He beat. Okay. So he was like, I want to play this, but also I want infinite ammo. And I was like, you know, that's a fair point, son. So I paid $5 to Capcom and I bought the unlimited ammo DLC. And he played it with unlimited ammo and he had a good time.
That's cool. If I were playing that game, I'd probably want infinite ammo too. I don't have time in my life for inventory management.
Ugh, the worst. So the entire game, he's like, should I pick up this? And I was like, nope, you don't need that. And he's like, can I pick up this ammo? And I was like, no, it's a waste of space.
Yeah.
You have, son, you have an infinite rocket launcher. Just blow everything away. And it's just chip off the old block, though, because I played the original Resident Evil 2 on Nintendo 64. And in that game, you had two cheat codes. One was infinite health and one was infinite ammo. And I used both of them to beat the game because I'm a child and I'm a baby. So that's how I play my games, or at least how I played them.
You don't want your horror games to be scary.
No, I don't need them to be scary. I don't need them to be tense or anxiety inducing. I just want to blow everything away.
I can't blame you for that.
No, makes it fun. You want to know what, Brandon? Speaking of blowing shit away, Brandon, we got an episode of Tales from the Crypt to cover.
Yeah, we do.
We sure do, Brandon. It is season 5, episode 5, People Who Live in Brass Hearses.
Such a wordy title.
It really is, yeah. I got tired halfway through, honestly. What did you think of this episode, Brandon? I'm not going to say the whole name again. God, we'd be here forever.
Yeah, so I thought People Who Live in Brass Hearses was good. I thought it was quite good.
I did too. Brandon, I fell in love with this episode pretty much immediately.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. Something from the first scene, I was just like, yep, this is going to be a good one.
Yeah, I can see that. The two main leads are both actors that I really enjoy seeing in just about anything.
Yeah.
And their chemistry together is quite good.
Agreed. They made the episode a lot of fun. There's a lot of surprises in this episode as well, which was awesome.
Yeah, it goes places, man.
Well, let's not spoil anything, Brandon, and let's just dive in onto this episode here. We got a good one.
All right.
Well, our episode starts up with a cheerleading chant from our best friend, the Crypt Keeper, Brandon. He tells us to chop him to the left, then chop him to the right, but also to chop him every chance we get. And go to fright, fright, fright. This is a good one. I like that.
Yeah. He's playing football with himself, maybe. I don't know. Seems like it's a bunch of other Crypt Keepers.
Perhaps. There's these cheerleader pom-poms in front of the camera, and they're all waving all around. And then they move to the side, and we see that Crypty is wearing a football uniform this time. But the American football, Brandon. So don't get it confused with soccer, okay? They probably don't even have American football over in Australia anyway.
No?
I don't think so. He stomps his way over to the huddle, because there's a huddle going on. He says, all right, creeps, it's fourth and ghoul. You're probably expecting us to run a ghost pattern, so let's run a scream pass instead. And you know what? These could literally be football terms, and I wouldn't know the difference.
These aren't even puns.
Well, that must be, though, because he giggles. So then he stands up, and he looks at the camera, and he says, of course, I could pull out a few other surprises from my playbook, like tonight's tale. It's about a couple of brothers planning a little high scaring of their own, and a nasty bit of offense he calls People Who Live in Brass Hearses. Why does he call it that? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. My voice is kind of cracking a little bit today, so just deal with it. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm here for the ride.
We take a look at the picture for this episode, and it's mostly faces. In the foreground is an older, larger gentleman in a bow tie and an ice cream man hat on. I don't know if there's, like, ice cream man hats, but if there was, and this episode seems to think there is, he's wearing it.
Yeah, I think he's wearing one in the episode, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's got this puppet next to him that looks kind of like him. He's in a truck, and in his mirror, like his side mirror, is the horrified face of an old woman who's screaming. We see behind her there's a fist that's clutching a hook, and it looks to be about to attack her. What do you think of the cover, Brandon?
There's a lot going on in the cover.
It almost always is. I like it when there's a lot going on. There's faces, there's screamings, there's hooks. What more could you ask for, you know?
Yeah, you look at it, and the more you look at it, like, the more stuff there is to see. You see the man, and then you're like, wait, why is there another littler man? And who is that woman? And who... That hand with the hook. Like, what's
and
that about?
And there's a hook, Brandon. Look, if I were to be attacked by anything in the world, I wouldn't want it to be a hook, okay?
No. That's like top five. Yeah. No, thank you.
Nope. No ways. We fade into the episode, and we get an interesting, like, aerial shot of a living room. A dirty living room. We can see our two main characters right away here. We've got Virgil, who's sitting on the couch reading a comic book, while his brother Billy is just... like clomping through the broom back and forth, throwing shit to the ground, like papers, empty pizza boxes, like soda cans, just everything. He goes to the ashtray and he lights up a cigarette butt as the camera slowly pans us down to a normal
view.
Very
slowly.
Yeah, this scene takes a while. He slams the TV because it's playing static and he's seen Poltergeist, and then walks over to the kitchen as the camera stops on Virgil. From the other room, we hear Billy yell,
"Aw, hell, who drank all the Hawaiian punch?"
I don't even remember the last time I had Hawaiian punch, Brandon.
I was just gonna ask you. I haven't had Hawaiian punches in ages.
It's been a long time. Virgil looks up saying, "Oh, I don't know." And Billy comes back into the room. He sits down on a chair and starts dealing himself a cold, hard stick of butter. Like it's a pack of cigarettes, Brandon.
Ugh. There's a lot of butter. Butter eating.
Butter consumption, butter. You know what, though? For an episode that the title, like, the description started out with, like, a dude with a butter addiction, I was like, I'm going to see more butter, or butter will play into the story a little more. But it really doesn't. It's just kind of there for some reason.
No, there is quite a bit of butter eating in this episode, but not enough for it to make it into the episode description, I think.
Yeah, it's just kind of like a little running gag of the episode, which is great. I like those little touches, you know? Then Virgil looks up from his comic and he says, "Hey, Billy, you think that Frank and Jesse James ever planned a warehouse rideout?" I think he says rideout.
Did you notice really what the comic it. That he's reading is?
Oh, yes. I make mention of the comic.
Okay.
Billy, who's watching cartoons now, says, "Maybe," and takes a big bite of his butter. Virgil prods more, asking, "An ice cream warehouse, maybe?" And Billy tells him, "No, Virgil." So Virgil goes back to reading his sweet Jesse James versus the Predator comic book, Brandon.
That's so cool.
How
and
odd.
That's not a real thing. I looked it up. I was immediately like, oh, I want to read that.
Yeah.
And then I saw that it was fake, and I was like, why would you make that for this episode?
I can only imagine. It's so that Virgil would talk about Jesse James, I guess, but why the Predator?
I don't know. Bill Paxton had been in Predator 2, like, I don't know, a year or two before this episode.
Okay.
Maybe he was like, why don't you make it a Predator, man?
Yeah, he was probably like, prop department, Predatored it up, you know?
But it could have been an alien, could have been a Terminator. He fought everything.
He stops. He looks back asking, well, we're still a lot like Frank and Jesse James, ain't we, Billy? And Billy is enthralled by these Looney Tunes-esque cartoons. So he tells his baby bro to shut the fuck up, because this is just getting good. Virgil doesn't shut up, though. He talks about how Frank and Jesse James rode horses, and how they're riding around in an Impala. But Impala's is a kind of horse, isn't it, Billy? Billy, who's 100% done at this point, slaps Virgil across the face with the TV remote and screams that he's had enough of this Jesse James shit. Forget about Jesse James. He is a wussy. He ain't ever done 2 years in San Quentin like I did he?
2 years is not like...
That's like two Easters though, Brandon, okay?
I guess. Like, I wouldn't want to do 2 years in prison, but he keeps bringing it up that he did 2 years like it's like a life sentence that he served.
I think it's kind of like how Billy is pathetic, and it's just like adding to his level of patheticness, you know?
Yeah, he's pretty damn pathetic.
Yeah. Like, our main characters here, Virgil and Billy, they're not good characters. I mean, they're acted well, and I love them, but they're not great. And this episode is kind of like bringing it down to like a, I feel kind of sorry for these guys levels, because they think that this is like some big heist that they're pulling. And it's just like, I don't know, you know, like it's like watching low budget crime, you know, there's nothing big or grand about this. Yeah. So it's kind of funny, like the scope of this episode is so small.
Yeah. They think that they're pulling off like some Heat style shit, but it's like,
they think they're bank robbers.
Taking a kid's lunch money, kind of.
Exactly. Yeah, it's kind of great how contained it is. It makes it even better. Virgil gets pretty much in the fetal position here. He's like shaking his head back and forth saying, no, Billy, you know, because Jesse James or whatever didn't spend 2 years. Anyway, then Billy kind of breathes for a second. He gets all sympathetic, being all like, oh, I'm sorry, Virgil. I didn't mean to slap you in the face with a remote. Come on, who's your biggest brother?
Oh, this is such a running thing throughout this episode.
Yeah, Billy's got issues here. So he abuses Virgil, and then he's like, oh, I didn't mean to abuse you. And Virgil's like, okay. You
know? Yeah, Virgil's like not totally there mentally.
Right.
And Billy is a bully. Billy bully.
Yeah, exactly.
But then he always feels bad about being a bully, and he's like, oh, man, I'm totally cool.
Yeah, I think it's called, like, it's like a cycle of abuse or something. It's sad
to see. Being a piece of shit.
Yeah, because you know that this kind of stuff happens, you know, to babyest brothers and biggest bros. You know, it happens, and it sucks. Billy smiles at his brother, and he asks, what are all these questions about the gig, you know? Are you getting nervous? And Virgil tells him, nope, I know what to do. They can't afford none fuck up, so they decide to go over it just one more time, you know, for the kids at home. Billy asks, who's going to be on his shift tomorrow? And Virgil thinks on that for a second and says, Tom and Cooter. Billy says, okay, so what's the first thing you're going to do when you get there? And Virgil explains he'll go to Tom to go pick up a transfer from another warehouse, and if he gives him any grief, he's going to tell him there was a call from the district supervisor, so he's just got to do it. Also, he's going to wait for Cooter to go on his break, and then he'll unlock the door, but Billy screams, no, goddammit, and throws his comic book. He tells Virgil to disengage the fire alarm and then unlock the door. Virgil bangs on his knees because he got it wrong and ensures Billy that he will remember it. He promises, Brandon. He keeps banging his knees until Billy tells him that's enough of that. Go get your shit, because there's one thing I want to do before the shit hits the fan tomorrow. And Virgil asks, well, what is it, Billy? And Billy gets all close to him with a smile, saying,
eat a little ice cream.
And the two boys laugh, and then we fade away.
That's hilarious.
I love ice cream.
Ice cream's so funny.
Okay. Now we're on some street, and we see an ice cream truck roll up on it. We pan over to an Impala and see Billy's face in the side mirror, and he says, some things never change, no matter how long you've been locked up for 2 years in San Quentin. Look at that. Back over with the ice cream truck, it makes a stop in front of a house, and a swarm of children just start running on over to it. Back with Billy, he says, we meet again, Mr. Bird. At the ice cream truck, we see it's run by Mr. Bird, who looks exactly like the cover for this episode. Weird. He's got the ice cream man hat on and everything. He tells the kids to hang on because there's a method to his madness, and he draws a curtain over his little window. The kids giggle, and they go over to the side of the truck, and the curtain pops open, and Mr. Bird is there with a puppet on his hands. And he yells, ta-da! And the kids all cheer. We hear the voice... Okay, Brandon, hold on. This part. We hear the voice of Liquid Snake from Metal Gear Solid as the puppet.
Yes, very importantly, it is an entirely different voice from Mr. Bird.
This puppet says,
hey, Mr. Bird, it looks like all our friends want ice cream.
And Bird's all, of course they do, Willie. But what should we do first? One of the kids from Heavyweights. Remember that movie? We should cover that sometime.
I do. I love that movie.
Yeah. So this kid from Heavyweights laughs, saying, bike the big one. And Bird frowns at him as the puppet says, well, let's give Danny here one of our delicious Frosty Freeze fruit drinks. Bird smiles, saying, that's a great idea, since they come in 8 exciting flavors. And they're good for you, too. In fact, Bird thinks he's going to have one right now. Why don't you tell the little boys and girls a knock-knock joke while I enjoy this fabulous new 79-cent drink sensation? He is such a salesman, Brandon.
I know. 79 cents. That's cheap.
Fuck yeah, dude. Like, at those prices, why drink water when you could have this?
Seriously. Cortland, have you ever been to an ice cream truck?
Yeah. So my grandma used to live in a neighborhood. She actually used to live in Flint, Brandon, you know, with that water crisis thing going on.
Sure, sure.
So I didn't drink the water, though, because these drinks were only 79 cents. I mean, come on.
Why would you?
Exactly. So, yeah, she had an ice cream man that came around every once in a while when I was there. So, yes, Brandon, to answer your question, I have.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've only been to one once when I was real little.
Do you remember what you got?
Choco Taco.
Oh, I love fucking Choco Tacos, Brandon. You made a good choice. Yeah.
But then I just spent the rest of my entire life wanting to go to ice cream trucks and never getting it.
That's very unsatisfying.
Yeah.
You would think in the hottest place in the whole fucking world that they'd have ice cream trucks like on every corner, Brandon.
Oh, they got them. I hear them.
They just haunt you?
No, my kids will be like, I want ice cream. And I'm like, if I didn't get ice cream when I was a kid, you ain't getting ice cream.
Those poor kids. Bird lifts up the cup of juice and he starts drinking as the puppet says, okay, boys and girls, who wants to hear a knock knock joke? And all the kids call out that they want that good shit. And the puppet says, knock knock. And then up walks Billy saying, who's there? And the puppet gasps and looks at Bird. And Billy walks up to Bird saying, I said, who's there? What's the matter, Bird? Don't you recognize one of your old vendor buddies? He turns to the kids like they care, saying, I used to drive a rig like this. Of course, it looked a little worse, but hey, I just spent the last 2 years of my life riding in prison. But you should remember that, right, Bird? You put me there. So, damn, we're getting all this drama in front of these kids, Brandon.
Yeah, so Billy used to be a big shot ice cream truck driver?
I guess so, yeah.
Is that what we're meant to believe?
Yeah, just everybody in the story works at this ice cream warehouse and truck driving of ice cream biz, Brandon.
All right.
Bird does remember and tells Billy he was trimming his profits, selling his inventory on the side. He was stealing, Brandon. Danny tells these buttheads to hurry it up because he wants some goddamn ice cream. And Billy is about to punch him in response, but he stops himself because that would be insanely illegal. Billy laughs it off a little, saying, Bird was totally right, though, and I got what I deserved. And to show how great a sport he is, he wants to take some ice cream to go. And he looks around at the selection and asks if Bird's got anything with butter in it. Bird thinks on that for a second, saying, nope. So Billy asks for butter brickle, then butter milk, which he also doesn't have. But Bird lifts his finger up, saying, oh, I got butterscotch, though. And Billy smiles a little, saying, fine, make it two butterscotches.
Oh, because of the butter. I didn't even catch that while I was watching it.
Yeah, he just wants butter, Brandon. He wants just a stick wants of cold anything
butter. Okay.
Billy lifts up a 20 and asks if Bird can break it, and Bird's all like, yeah, of course I can. Then he opens up his container of money that is just pouring with ones and says, I do hope you don't harbor any bad feelings. And he notices that Billy notices that fat wad of cash, and he slams that shit close, saying, what's done is done, and hands him his change. Billy calls Bird a smart man and laments over the fact that he hadn't talked to him sooner. Then Billy looks over at Danny and says, hey kid, eat up, and tosses him a stick of butter.
Gross.
Yeah. Danny doesn't like that, though. Danny calls Billy a loser, and then we cut over to Danny walking to his car and handing Virgil a tray of ice cream. Billy looks back at Bird saying, tomorrow he's getting his. And Virgil's all, ah, oh, don't worry about him. He's just an old puppet man. And he goes to scoop a little tiny nibble of ice cream into his mouth, but Billy slaps that shit out of his hands and to the floor, screaming that he doesn't care if Bird can pull monkeys out of his ass. He wants payback. So Virgil's all, ah, okay, sure, Billy, anything you say. I mean, you done the hard time. And Billy, he's about to scoop some ice cream into his own mouth. But he looks over at his babyest brother, and he hands him the ice cream and says, ah, you can have it, I ain't hungry. We cut over to the next day, Brandon. We're at the ice cream warehouse. Hooray, right?
I guess.
Yeah.
So it's the scene of the heist.
Yes, exactly. It's the day of the heist as well. We see a woman step into the freezer yelling for Virgil. Her name is Miss Grafungar. Or maybe it's Grafundar. I don't remember.
Well, the thing is, the characters pronounce her name completely differently.
Oh, they do.
Even when they're in the same scene together, they'll just like back and forth say her name differently.
That's because her name is really difficult to pronounce, and I'm probably going to do the same thing. So maybe that's part of the joke, you know?
Okay.
She just can't seem to find Virgil or Cooter, Brandon. But Cooter touches her back and she screams, and then she tells him to wipe that smile off his fucking face. Both of them. She asks where they were, and Virgil yells that Thais was working. So she thinks that they were probably goofing off, more like it. And Cooter tries to tell her that he was on break, but she's all like, listen here, mister. This isn't a playpen for boys in short pants. And Cooter looks down at his pants and he says, but ma'am, I ain't wearing short pants. So she tells him to can it, and that Bird just pulled in. Then she asks where Tom is, and Virgil explains that Tom's out to another warehouse to pick up a stock transfer. Just like the plan, Brandon.
Ah, so far so good.
It got authorized by the district super, so Miss Grafunger, she can't really say no, you know? So she power walks out of the freezer and into the warehouse complaining that how's she supposed to get this shit rolling with his two knuckleheads, Brandon? She only got two of them. Mr. Bird has a scheduled pickup, and he always arrives on time and expects the same courtesy in return. She walks over to a collection of mirrors, and she starts puffing up her old lady hair, saying,
that's something that we call good old-fashioned values.
And you know, you boys could learn a thing or two from Mr. Bird. I feel like this episode's going, okay? It's going places, I promise, people. I promise.
Yeah, we're getting there.
She walks away to go see Bird when out from the warehouse walks Billy, saying that he thinks they know a thing or two about Mr. Bird. Ain't that right, boys and girls? And Cooter is all excited, saying, oh, hell's bells, it's you, Billy. And in response, Billy sucker punches Cooter across the face, and he falls off screen. And that's the last time we see Cooter.
Yeah, Billy punched him right out of the episode.
Sure did. Yeah, he's just gone.
He's like, oh, hey, Billy. Pew! He's deleted.
Yeah. Over with Grafunda, she walks up to Bird in his truck, who tips his hat to her. She smiles at him, saying, oh, good day to you. I'll have your order ready in just a jiffy, but I am one man short today, so it's going to be a minute. Bird tells her that's all cool, and she asks, so, Mr. Bird, are you going to have the pleasure of seeing you at the Vendor Award this year? And Bird tells her, this year? Oh, I'm afraid not. She thinks it'd be a welcome change to see him in person. You know, it's funny because she just purchased these lavender pantsuits, and it would look mighty snazzy next to a fine gentleman like yourself. She's flirting with him, and it's adorable.
Yeah, and he's not having it at all.
No, he's not. Bird apologizes, but says that he's just not much for such frivolous functions. Grafunda agrees, laying it on incredibly thick here, saying, oh, me neither. Let's just blow it off and, I don't know, have a nice quiet dinner alone together. Gosh, I make the best potato chip and green bean casserole you'll ever taste. Can you imagine? Green bean and potato chip casserole, Brandon. Ugh.
Sounds delicious. Better than a stick of butter, I'll say that.
Okay, that's fair, yeah. Bird waves his hand, saying, I'm sorry, no. Grafunda deflates here, saying, fine. Bird asks, I didn't make you upset, did I? And she snaps, I said fine! And then she's all like, that'll be $156. So Bird opens up his money box and starts sifting through all the ones to make it all the way to $156. And we hear Billy saying, see that shit? We get him in here, no one sees us, and we'll do the dirty deed. That's an extra $500 in cash. And we see that they're like hunkered down in the warehouse next to Virgil, right? So they're just kind of like watching and nobody can see him because they're so sneaky. Virgil complains that Billy didn't have to break Cooter's nose, and Billy calls him an idiot. But Virgil argues that no way, Cooter is super smart.
Really is, like one time he asked me who'd win in a fight. Darth Vader, RoboCop, and the Monsters, and I thought Darth Vader'd win, but Cooter, he'd done like a whole bunch of research about it.
And then unfortunately, Brandon, that conversation is cut short by Billy, because I really want to know who wins. That's the most disappointing part of the
episode. I really wanted to hear what Cooter said that made Virgil be like, oh, I guess the Monsters could beat Darth Vader.
I know. Me too.
Like, all the Monsters together.
They stand still a chance.
No.
You don't think so?
They still ain't shit.
I mean, you got, like, a Frankenstein's monster. You got a grandpa werewolf.
He's a grandpa, man. He's an old man.
But I don't know. Maybe his fangs could penetrate Darth Vader's helmet. Who knows?
One of them's a little kid. You got an old man and a little kid.
Yeah, I mean,
Herman is, like, carrying that team. And even here, I don't think so.
I mean, I guess, like, at this point, Darth Vader didn't canonically destroy all of those children. So, I don't know. We'll never know, Brandon.
No.
Hey there, everybody. Cortland here, your good buddy and your ice cream delivery boy. Thank you so much for joining us today, whether this is your first episode or you've listened to everything we've got. We're so thankful for you spending some time with us. Up All Night is officially 5 years old. So thank you so much for all the fans who have been enjoying our content over the past 5 years. We've covered a lot of shows, over 200 episodes, and we don't plan on stopping anytime soon. Brandon and I hope you enjoy our special bonus episode covering We're Back, A Dinosaur Story, which hit the main podcast feed this week. For tons of bonus content, early release episodes, and more, check us out on Patreon. That's patreon.com/privateisland. We post new content multiple times a week, so there's always something new to enjoy. I'd like to take a moment to thank our current patrons, The Beths, Venice Witch, Tristan, Redemption, Lyle, Eddie, Ray, Rad Magical, Faith, and Shane, The Goths, Stephen, Matt, Aaron, Brittany, Sid, and Corey, The Citizens of Carlsville, Sarah, Mr. Normal, Matt, Keith, Christy, Angela, and Meredith, and your boys and girls, Kathy, Farron, Bryce, and Brian. Thank you for your support, everybody. Brandon and I truly appreciate it. You can follow us on social media for all the latest and greatest. We're at Up All Night Podcast on Instagram, at UAN Pod on Twitter, at Up All Night HA Podcast on YouTube, and at Private Island Presents on TikTok. You can hang out with me live at twitch.tv/PrivateIslandC. Lately, I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft with my wife, who's been a guest on the show, but I also do dabble in Stardew Valley, and I'd like to get back into some Dead by Daylight soon. I'd like to take a moment to thank the Benevolent Badger for their work on the music for our show, aside from this theme dating start from Undertale, composed by Toby Fox. I'd also like to thank Brandon for his work on the artwork. Thank you so much for listening in. For now, I'll let you get back to the episode, and I will talk with you next week. Bye, everybody.
Billy does tell Virgil that he's just as stupid as Cooter, though, so there's that. Virgil gets upset, and he storms off, and Billy follows him, begging him not to do this right now, and asks, once Grafunda walks back into her office, what are you going to do? Virgil walks away from his brother again, so Billy follows him, telling him that he's going to wait till she pops open the safe, and then you'll step behind her, right? Then you'll keep her there, nice and quiet, and I take care of the rest, okay? Including Bird. Virgil here is acting like he ain't listening, so Billy pleads with him, saying that he really needs him for this one. So Virgil's all, oh, no you don't, and walks away again. But Billy follows Virgil as they go further back into the warehouse and says Billy don't even like him, and he's always yelling at him and hitting him and stuff. But Billy tells him, no, you got that all wrong, babyish brother. It's not me. It's them. Everybody. They all say the DeLuca brothers are shit. Screw them. They're garbage. Virgil asks, whoa. Who's saying that stuff? And Billy doubles down saying, everybody is calling you guys garbage. Me included. Cops, bankers, lawyers, even Miss Grafunda. And we look over at her as she's walking back into the warehouse and she's complaining about how Bird is a lazy sack who can't even load his own stupid truck. But it's been that way for 15 years, so like, whatever. Then she calls out for Virgil, and Virgil says, God, I hate her. And Billy agrees that she's the worst. But they're outnumbered, Brandon. They only got each other. So Virgil decides that he wants to hurt Miss Grafunda. But Billy tells him, no, just, you know, follow the plan. But Virgil goes on and on about how he wants to hurt her so bad. So Billy's all, okay, whatever, just, you know, do what you gotta do. Just use your head, you know, don't be stupid about it. Over with Grafunda, she's calling for Virgil to start loading up that ice cream truck. She calls some more, and finally Virgil pops out, and she's all, there you are, stumbling around like you got a single brain cell up in there in that head. Now go get Cooter and load up that truck. Hurry up, because that jerk's got a stick up his ass about prompt attentiveness. Okay, now you guys, we're getting rolling here. It's a slow roll, yeah. But we're getting there.
Shit's about to go off.
Mm-hmm. Over in Grafunda's office, she opens up the safe, and we hear the door slam, and she looks over to see Virgil's in there. She gets startled, and she falls to the ground, and Virgil giggles. She yells, have you ever heard a knocking? And Virgil kind of grins and shakes his head a little bit. She starts getting up off the ground, yelling at him to wipe that stupid smile off of his face and how,
you know, people have been crippled for falls less than that.
It's like, Miss Grafunda, come on now. Virgil kind of stammers out, you know, Billy said I need to keep you in here. She's all, oh yeah? What's Billy got to do with any of this? That stupid idiot. I hope your slimeball brother rots in prison. And then she picks up a nasal spray and huffs that shit for a second. We look over at Virgil, who's like got a shiv in his hand. It's like this brass knuckle that he's got with this really long spike on it.
An ice pick, I think.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. It's an ice pick. They're in a freezer. It makes sense. What I do know, Brandon, is that I don't want to be attacked by that spike, okay?
No. That's in the top three things.
Yep.
Want no part of.
Ice picks and spikes and hooks. Like, no thanks. No thank you. But he walks over to Miss Grafunda, and then we cut over to Billy, and he's hiding in the warehouse looking at Bird's ice cream truck. He's got this gun now too, Brandon, because he's getting into action mode. And we hear a bird call, come on, let's get some service over here. Hop to it, people. And then he calls for Miss Grafunda a couple of times. With Billy, he's chilling there waiting for Bird to get out of his truck when up walks Virgil. And Virgil is absolutely covered in blood.
Yeah, so things have gone a little bit off plan now.
Just a touch, yes. He scares Billy, and Billy grabs him, asking, what happened? And Virgil starts out, Billy, I did like you said. So Billy's getting nervous now, asking Virgil to tell him what he did. And Virgil just stares to the side and points, saying, Billy? And we look over, and a drenched from, I guess, head to toe, Miss Grafunda, super bloody, and she is slowly crawling her way out of the warehouse towards Bird's truck. So Virgil starts apologizing a whole bunch as we cut over to Miss Grafunda and she just vomits a big blood blob. It's great. Over with Bird, he's getting more and more antsy about his packages. With Billy, he stealthily crawls his way over to Grafunda, who's made her way to the main aisleway and is slowly crawling to the truck. You can even see her in the truck's side mirror, but Bird doesn't see that. We watch Billy grab a hook that's on a pallet as Miss Grafunda screams. But right when she screams, Bird starts honking the horn, so he can't hear her. It's immaculately timed. Billy starts trying to reach with her with the hook, right? He's just like slamming it down and over and over again, and it's like tinking against the pavement. It's really great, very tense. Until he finally like sinks it right into her fucking head and then drags her out of view. Just as Bird looks into a side mirror to see if, you know, the packages are coming, and he doesn't see any of it.
Yeah. This episode's got quite a bit of gore in it.
Oh, it sure does. And we're just getting started, Brandon.
Yeah, we are.
It's wonderful. So Bird here, he's had enough of this shit. He starts up his truck and he rides away without his ice cream, I guess. So I don't know how he's going to work, but whatever. With Billy, he starts screaming as we see the dead body of Grafunda laying wide-eyed next to him. Virgil scooches by asking what they're going to do now. Billy says,
life without parole.
Come on, let's get that safe. Move it. They bust into the office, and it's just painted with blood streaks and handprints everywhere. Looks like very disturbing.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell went on in that room.
We'll never know, Brandon. I think, like, somebody exploded.
There's, like,
a fucking
splashes
balloon.
Of blood on the ceiling. Like,
it's crazy. It's just like,
what
everyone.
Did he do?
They took paintbrushes of blood and just, like, slapped it against the wall to cover this room, and it looks great. Billy doesn't really notice all the blood everywhere, though, Brandon. He runs over to the safe and gets, like, really pissed because it's closed. So Virgil just kind of walks around a little as Billy asks if he got the money out of it. And it turns out Virgil didn't, because Billy said that he was going to be taking the money out, not Virgil. That was the plan. So Billy starts crying a little, which turns into a laugh as he says that their murder didn't get them shit. Virgil asks about Bird, saying, well, wait, what about Bird? He's still got like $500 on him. That's easy money. Billy turns saying, yeah, the puppet man. And we cut that night to Bird's house, where we hear a car roll into the driveway, and the two brothers open up their doors. And we pan over to see that Bird, who hears something's going on outside, he's there. He hides behind a little beaded curtain. The door busts open. Oh, I will say too, Brandon, you do get to hear Brad Dourif's like signature Chucky laugh for a second, which
yeah,
is great.
That is cool.
His little hee-hee-hee thing. I love that. Like, he's got a great laugh. He's great.
He really does.
The door busts open and Bird takes one step out as they tell him, hey, hands where we can see him. It's Billy and Virgil. And Billy's got a handgun. And then Virgil cocks a shotgun. So Billy tells him to hand it over. And he ain't talking about all 31 flavors. Good joke. Bird tells him, no, please spare me. It wasn't my idea to report you. I tried to talk him out of it. But then he gets yanked back a little bit into the beaded curtain, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Well, let's find out. Billy tells him to shut up and commands Virgil to show him how they got ways of making him talk. Virgil's all, you got it, Billy. And he quickly aims his shotgun and fucking blasts the upper left-hand side of this guy's head away.
God damn, Virgil. He fucks everything up at every opportunity.
It's so good, Brandon. You see, like, the blast impact on Bird, and literally the top, like, right-hand corner of his face is gone. It's so good.
Yeah. I was startled. I did not expect
that. Oh, me too. Yeah, I was like, holy shit, this episode's amazing. Bird falls to the ground dead as Billy looks up in shock. He takes a few steps and calls his brother a fucking idiot. So Virgil laughs, saying that he wouldn't have told us where the money is anyway, right? Billy grabs his brother, asking, is he going to tell us now? Huh? Is he, you fucking idiot? Oh, shit. Whatever. You know what? Find the money, okay? You check the bedroom, and I'll check the rest of the house.
So they split up and they go do just that. And we stay with Billy, who starts opening up drawers and cabinets in the kitchen. He's just knocking everything to the ground. He's basically in a rage room.
Fun.
I know, right? He opens up the fridge, looks in that, and yells, "Shit!" And he starts kicking some pans around. Then he sees a big freezer, so he opens that up and laughs because there's ice cream in there. And of course there is, you know, he's an ice cream man. He's like, this is just so original. Then he lifts up one of the boxes of ice cream and finds that it's actually money inside. And Billy can't believe this. He's like, Virgil, get the hell over here. We got some money. It's crazy.
It's like $20 in ones.
Everything's in ones in this episode. Yeah. He runs into the living room with a woohoo, but notices the bead curtain is moving. And Virgil isn't answering. So he grabs his gun. But just then, a shotgun blast hits him in the leg, severing it completely. He falls to the ground screaming and clutches his leg stump. From behind the beaded curtain walks Bird. Brandon.
What the fuck?
I know. I was like, what's going on here? What is this? He's got the shotgun in his hands, though, so he's the one that shot that leg off.
Yeah.
Brandon, what did you think when you saw Bird again? We just saw him die.
All right. We're about to get the big reveal of this episode, I guess.
Yeah.
At this point, I was shocked to see Bird, but, you know, gears were starting to turn in my head, and I was starting to think of what might be happening. And I was wrong, but I was close.
Yeah, I was like, is he a vampire? What's going on? You know? He's got to be undead. But he's not undead, Brandon. He's not.
No. It's just, so it's what's just happening? Good buddy.
Well, let's find out here. Bird looks at Billy on the ground saying, you just couldn't keep well enough alone, could you? And Billy yells out, no, you're dead. And Bird is all, I warned you. As Billy screams for Virgil. Bird then pulls Virgil's body from the beaded curtain, and Billy screams because Virgil's dead. Yeah. Oh boy, Brandon.
Oh kind of fucked up.
Yeah, I don't really know how Bird overpowered Virgil, but like it happened. So, like, okay.
Yeah, so Michael Lerner here, who plays Mr. Bird.
Yeah.
He is going for it in this scene, Cortland. This is on his Emmy reel.
It's so good. I've only ever seen him in Blank Check, where he plays a fat banker who thinks about chickens and pots. And to see him in this role, I was like, you're amazing.
Yeah. Oh, you're an actor.
God, yeah, he is.
I thought you were actually a banker.
He reminded me of Newman from Seinfeld, the way he's talking and stuff in this scene. And I like it. I like it a lot. Bird takes a step forward saying, it's just you and me now, buddy. It's payback time. And he gives a crazy little victory arm raise. It's great. Bird looks in the distance saying, I bet you and your brother were real close. Let me tell you about my brother. We were close, too, until he died. In fact, we're still close. Look how close. And he screams. And he turns around 180 degrees to show us that he's actually a Siamese twin. And his brother is connected to him by the ass, Brandon.
Oh, haven't we seen this one before?
We have, but not this way before, right?
Not exactly this way.
Right. So the other bird swivels into frame with the quarter of its head still blown off, and Billy screams a whole bunch. Bird walks closer to Billy, now saying, brotherhood is kind of like a bond, isn't it? The kind you can't easily walk away from, know what I mean? My brother Earl really wasn't a social butterfly, but when he was doing the voice for that puppet, he was one hell of a salesman. Bird says that he's going to miss his brother, and Billy tells him to go to hell, calling him a freak. Bird's all, you first, and bashes Billy in the head with his shotgun. This cuts us over to the ice cream truck, where Bird is sitting there reading a magazine. That kid, Danny from earlier, walks on up with that stick of butter saying, yo, Bird, your ice cream sucks! And he takes a lick of that butter. Bird tells the kid to blow him, so the kid walks up and takes a big whiff saying, smells like shit in here too. And then he leaves with a giggle. We stay with Bird, who smiles saying, you hear that, Earl? The kid says we suck, right? And we smell. And the camera goes into the truck and pans past Bird to show us that he is still connected to his dead and decaying brother. And we see this dummy with a quarter of its head gone, and it looks real good, Brandon.
Yeah, all the special effects in this look really good. Like, this looks really good when he gets shot in the head and his head blasts off. It looks good. When the leg gets blasted off, it looks good.
Yeah.
When Billy puts the hook through Miss Grifunger's head, that looks really good.
They went for it, man. I didn't expect this much gore in this episode, but I kind of fucking love it.
Yeah, this one's full of it.
Like, I love this episode from the moment I saw Brad Dourif, and it just kept going from there, and it was so good. I liked it a lot. That's the end of the episode, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Back with the Crypt Keeper, he says, shame about Billy and Burgle, but you know what they say, kiddies, two deads are better than one. And as for Bird, he stayed in the ice cream business and did very well. Everyone loves Ben and Scary. And he laughs.
I like when he gives us a little taste of what happens after the episode.
Oh, right. It's so wonderful. Thank you.
It's good to know that his business went well.
It's booming, even. Even though I didn't say this, but at the end, his truck just says all like half off ice cream. So I don't know how good he's doing, but I guess nobody's at the warehouse anymore to give him deliveries, but whatever. You think that the police would come by and be like, hey, you were at the warehouse right before Grafunda died. Like, what happened? And he's just sitting there connected to a dead brother being like, I don't know, officers.
Yeah. Like, I can't imagine how his life even progresses from here.
I don't know.
Like, he gets out of that truck to go into 7-Eleven or whatever. He's dragging a corpse with him.
Yeah. Doesn't make no much sense.
And I don't know how conjoined twins work, but can one die and the other one just keep chilling?
I feel like there's a lot of things that can happen that would be wrong if you had like a dead Siamese twin on you. I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I think it's probably not ideal.
Nah. While this is all going on, he's still in that huddle with his football gear on, and there's like two skeletal teammates next to him. Then Crypty says, well, I gotta go back to my practice. Next week, we're playing the Washington Dreadskins. Then he looks around calling 45, 22, 33, hut, hut, hut. Okay, I don't know football stuff. And we hear this snap noise, and he lifts up a severed hand saying, you idiot, I didn't call for a handoff. And he laughs. And that's the end of our episode. I quite liked this episode, Brandon. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yes, this episode was good.
It's a slow one, you know, a slow roll at the beginning there, but it ramps up to be fucking outrageous. Really liked it.
Yeah, Bill Paxton is really good at playing just a dirtbag.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he played in this. And this isn't a role I've seen Brad Dourif.
No, but he nailed it. You know, I only really know Brad Dourif from playing Chucky, where I love him as Chucky. I mean, his voice is iconic.
I mean,
the new Chucky series is great.
He's also Wormtongue in Lord of the Rings, isn't he?
I haven't seen Lord of the Rings in like 20 years, Brandon.
Oh. Man, okay. You should probably see Lord of the Rings again.
I know. Maybe I'll show it to Lance sometime. But I have to devote like 9 hours to it. It's a long time.
Only if you watch the theatrical versions.
Right. Well, why wouldn't I? I got you there, Brandon.
You could watch like the 13-hour extended cuts.
Oh, right. That's what I thought you meant. Okay, never mind. Fuck all. I don't got time. Brad Dourif, I think he was my favorite part of the episode. His acting is just so sublime. It's just so natural for him. He's a great guy.
Yes, he's a great guy.
Great guy. Great guy. I would love to. If I could meet like one of the classic like slasher villains of the 80s and 90s, Brad Dourif would be one that I'd be like, I want your autograph, Mr. Dourif. And he'd probably like, who the fuck are you? And I'd be like, damn it.
Aw. Brad, hypothetical.
You're hypothetical sweetheart, I'm sure, right? Well, he's probably really a sweetheart, too.
I'm sure he is.
But, Brandon, people who live in brass hearses, did you learn anything from this episode?
Trying to think. Did I learn anything? I think this episode's just all...
It's all a wash for you, Brandon.
Gotta try to think of one thing.
I learned that butter addictions are a serious thing, Brandon.
Yeah, like three different people are just chomping on butter sticks in this.
If you're having a rough day, Brandon, just go into your fridge. Unpack a cold pack of butter and go to town on it. It'll solve everything.
I learned that I really wish Jesse James vs. Predator was a thing.
Oh, yeah. You'd already have read it by now. Shit.
Yeah.
Now, the name for this episode, I don't really get it. People who live in brass hearses. Like, I assume it's a riff on, like, people who live in glass houses. Which, you know, you shouldn't throw stones or whatever. Which I guess they literally did because they all just, like, tried to rob the place that they work or worked at. So maybe it's come to something like that. Am I getting it?
I don't know, because I think a more apt saying for that would be about not biting the hand that feeds you.
Right. Or not shitting where you eat or whatever, right?
Yeah, definitely don't do that.
No, nobody wants that. I think it could have been named either one of those, you know? Don't bite the hand that feeds you or don't shit where you eat.
Don't shit in the hand that feeds you.
There you go. That's what they say. And that's what this episode should have been titled. Brandon, do you want to meet this cast, even though we kind of know almost everybody?
Yeah, who are these incredibly famous people?
Well, let's talk about Bill Paxton first. The late Bill Paxton, he passed away in 2017.
You know what? You literally just reminded me of that.
My bad. You want to just stop? We can stop, Brandon, anytime. Well, what do you, besides, okay, so Aliens, obviously he's Private Hudson in that movie, but what else do you know Bill Paxton from?
Well, I know him from Predator 2. I know him from mm-hmm. Twister.
All the hits, yeah.
Titanic, obviously.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you know that he started it off 1975 with Crazy Mama?
Everybody knows that, Cortland. Come on.
Right. Was he in a band or something? Barnes and Barnes?
Never heard of it.
Okay. Well, he was in like a couple of music videos for it where he played the man in an uncredited role and then also main character in an uncredited role. So he was also in Pat Benatar's Shadows of the Night music video. So I don't know. He must have been on a music video kick for a bit there in the like 70s and 80s. He was in Terminator 1. Did you know that? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta watch that movie again sometime. But I just like Terminator 2 so much more, you know?
Yeah, I just watched that a few hours ago.
What, Terminator 2?
Yep.
Damn, you had a great fucking night, Brandon. Shoot.
I really did.
Hold on. Here's like a oops on his credits here. He was in Spy Kids 2, Island of Lost Dreams, where he played Dinky Winks.
What?
Yep. Those were words, Brandon.
Those movies are just wild.
Never seen them. I kind of refuse, actually. Just like Baby Geniuses. I don't want to watch that either.
I'm pretty sure you and I watched some of Spy Kids 1.
Perhaps. My niece was kind of obsessed with Spy Kids.
Yeah, I was going to say mostly what I know from Spy Kids is just what Callie told us.
Yeah, shout out to Callie. She's a lawyer now. Did you know that?
Man, watching Spy Kids will lead to great things.
It does, every time. More recently, he was in Edge of Tomorrow. I like that movie. Have you seen Edge of Tomorrow?
I have not.
Oh, it's pretty good. You should watch it. Well, I mean, you don't have to put it like high on your list or anything, but like it's a good movie, I promise.
All right, number one with a bullet.
Yeah.
12 Angry Men and then Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah. He was in Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, Exo Zombies. He did a voice in a video game. More recently, I guess the most recent, he was in 2019's Taking Tiger Mountain Revisited, even though he had passed away 2 years prior.
Yeah. Okay.
Really good actor. I like Bill Paxton. Rest
one of the greats. Buddy.
Yeah. So I think we should talk about Brad Dourif next, even though he's not next on the list for some reason. But I mean, it's Brad Dourif. He is the voice of Chucky from Child's Play and every iteration of Chucky that's not the reboot, because we don't talk about the reboot much.
That's kind of interesting that his known for on IMDb doesn't include any Chucky roles.
No, but I did forget that he was in One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Fantastic fucking yeah. movie.
Yeah, he's in that one with Jack Nicholson, right?
Yes.
This man, this Brad Dourif character, has a lot of IMDb credits. I'm still scrolling. Okay. He started it off in 1975 with WW and the Dixie Dance Kings. That's cool.
That's a jazzy name.
And then he was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So like right away, he got that really great wow. role.
That is a good early role.
It really is. Yeah, that's a very beloved movie. What else was he in here, Brandon? Tales of the Unexpected? He was in Dune from 1984.
Yes, another movie I had just watched.
Was he great in it? Did you see him?
Yeah, I saw him and noticed him immediately and his ridiculous eyebrows, which you probably need to look up. You need to look up Brad Dourif, Dune, because it's something okay. to behold.
I will. I will absolutely after this, I promise. 1988 is when Child's Play started. And he took the world by storm, Brandon. He took our hearts. He continued playing as Chucky in Child's Play 2 and 3 and Bride of Chucky and The Seed and everything, okay? There's even a TV show. I talk about it pretty much all the time. That's still going on where he plays the same Chucky in like continuity of the very first movie from 1988.
So, yeah, Chucky's a weird one. In the horror movie, the long-running horror movie franchises, because like almost all of them, people seem to think that at some point they just get shit, whereas sure. Chucky just seems to be like very consistently good.
Agreed. I mean, I don't think Bride and Seed are great, but I love that. They're there. I'm sorry, Brandon. My apologies, Mr. They're not like the best movies ever, but I just can't believe that continuity wise, even to this day, because the season 3 of Chucky will be coming back soon. Like, they still have the same storyline from the 80s. That's great. He was in Alien Resurrection. I haven't seen that movie. I don't know if I want to.
It's worth a single watch.
All right. I'll believe you. He did some voice work for video games like Gun, and he was in the 2007 Halloween. That one was from Rob Zombie, I think, right?
Yes.
Yeah. More recently, Brandon. Oh, he was in Dead by Daylight. Well, obviously he's in Dead by Daylight because he does the voice of Chucky in Dead by Daylight. So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
That makes sense.
He does the voice of the good guy. He was in a couple of wrestling things recently, and then Chucky, which is still going on. Next. That's Brad Dourif. Love the guy. Let's talk about Grafunda, played by Lainey Kazan. I don't know. She's in My Big Fat Greek Wedding, okay? And the second one. Probably the third one. I think there's a third one.
All right. She's Maria in the My Big Fat Greek Wedding cinematic universe.
Yes. But she did start things off in 1962 with Car 54. Where are you? I wonder if she found it. She was in Columbo. And a bunch of other things. ABC Weekend Specials. Oh, boy. She was in the Twisted Sister music video, Come Out and Play. Beverly Hills 90210. Brandon, a little something something. She was in Animaniacs.
Cool. As Molly.
Yeah, Murder, She Wrote. She was in Touched by an Angel. The King of Queens. She was in two episodes of that. I know you love that show.
Sure.
She was in something called Oy Vey, My Son is Gay.
I saw that the same time you said it.
That must be something to do with My Big Fat Greek Wedding, I think. Maybe like a short or something for it. Because I'm pretty sure Joey Fatone is in My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and he plays a gay man.
I wouldn't know. Never seen any of those
posters. I've seen all of them. I have posters up all over my room.
Oh, I knew it.
Yep. I'm a big fan. She was in Desperate Housewives and Modern Family and Grey's Anatomy. So, like, all of the, like, ABC hits. And most recently, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3 and Young Jedi Adventures. So, she's still working it. Amazing. I liked her. I thought she was fun. Let's talk about the late Michael Lerner, Brandon, who passed away just last year in 2023.
Oh.
I know. I love this man, even though I've only seen him in two roles total as of right now. Because he is fat guy in Blank Check.
He's great in that movie.
Most famous.
Did you see the 1998 Godzilla movie?
No.
Oh.
No, I didn't. Is he in that?
He is. He's the mayor in that.
Oh. Well, he started things off 1963 with Dr. Kildare. And then he was in Three's Company. Oh, no, that's Three's a Crowd. I think I did that before, too. I'm sorry.
Oh, damn it.
He was in one episode of The Brady Bunch in 1969, though, Brandon.
Okay. Which one?
I don't know. He played somebody named Johnny in it. It would be fun to see him from 1969, though. I bet you he looks way different.
Well, I'm going to look him up.
Do it, Brandon. Do it.
The Brady Bunch. Michael Lerner.
You're the slowest typer ever.
Yeah, I really am. Okay. Searching. No, that's Greg Brady. All right, there's no images of him on the
That's a shame.
It may not have actually happened.
That could, yeah. In 1981, he played the postman. Always rings twice, Brandon. He was in, honestly, a lot of stuff. Maniac Cop 2, Radioland Murders, The Beautician and the Beast.
Sounds great. All of it.
101 Dalmatians 2, Patch's London Adventure.
Oh, I got so excited because I saw he was in Clueless, but it was the TV series.
Oh, I've never seen the TV series. Oh. No. Two Dead, Two Kill. Those are like... Oh, he was in X-Men Days of Future Past. He was Senator Brickman in it. I like that movie.
He looks like he could play a senator.
Most recently, he was in 2024's Sallywood. So
yeah, that's pretty recent. Past,
I guess so. But unfortunately, like I said, he did pass away. So rest in peace to our boy. Fat guy from Blank Check, or as he's really known, Michael Lerner. Really great cast, Brandon. Do you want to see what's next week?
Yeah, what do we got?
Okay, so season 5, episode 6 is called Two for the Show.
All right, it's a boring name. What do we got? What's the description here?
Fair enough. A man murders his beautiful younger wife when she threatens to leave him. He then packs her body in a big suitcase and boards a train, where he is stalked by an inquisitive detective, Brandon. Cool. I don't know if I really recognize anybody. David Paymer?
I know who that guy is, character actor.
Vincent Spano?
Never heard of him.
Tracy Lords?
No comment.
Wesley Thompson?
Never heard of him.
Okay. Should be a good episode then, Brandon.
All right. Cool.
But that's next week. You got to wait a whole ass week for that. So good luck.
Yeah. Damn it.
I know. Your week is ruined now that you have anticipations. Yay. Oh, Brandon, I think I'm done talking about brass hearses and all that. I think I'm
finished. Done. Donezo.
I think I'm scuttle off to bed, perhaps. Take a little naparoo before I have to make baked potatoes or something today. It's going to be a lovely potato-filled day. So, I don't know. I've been up all night, Brandon. Thanks for joining me again for, your special guest appearance, Brandon. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. 1,000 weeks in a row.
Yeah, right? It's been like 250 or some bullshit. We're only coming up to 5 years already.
That's a lot. That's a lot of time to spend talking to each other.
Ugh, I know. I lament it every week. But we'll save my lamentations for next week, Brandon.
Yeah, you got a whole week to recover.
Whew, thank God. All right, Brandon, I'm out of here. I've been up all night. I'll talk to you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Who drank all the Hawaiian punch?